This is the Steel versus Steel podcast. This is Watchman Robert Avila. I'm bringing today a message of hope. It may seem different. I'm going to share several dreams and visions about war in Asia, war against China within the United States. I have so many dreams about war in the U.S., but we're just focusing today on China. Stick around for the full show because there is some encouragement, some things that when God told me them, surprised me. And I think they're going to surprise most. So I'm going to start off. I've had these things in the order that I think they will happen. It makes sense to me that they could happen this way. And I think it'll make it easier to follow along. So the first dreams I'm going to share are two dreams about war in Asia and Americans fighting there. So in one of these dreams, I see that a beachhead is taken. Some Navy men, maybe some soldiers, some Marines, they capture a beach and they begin to clear it. Now, it's interesting how God does this. Many times he shows me one person and he follows through, and I follow that person through a series of dreams. Other times it's just one scene, but it focuses on a believer, a Christian man in that dream. And this is one of those. There's a Christian man in this company, and as they're taking the beach, they're casual about it, they're setting their equipment up, and this guy says, hey, I just remembered a dream that I had about this. And he says, we get attacked on this beach, and everyone dies, like we get overrun. They say, well, how do they attack? He said, from those trees right over there. And he points to the thick trees on this part of the beach. He said, they come through the trees, and that's their cover, and we lose the engagement. And then, so they say, well, let's cut down the trees. And they set up a heavy 50 cal and they just clear cut the trees. And they get out there with axes and just chop down the trees. They build better fortifications. And later, the man's vision comes to pass. The enemy attacks. Their defensive measures help them. They do a much better job in the battle. But in the end, they are captured. And there's a scene where they're all lined up on the beach and this Asian commander, I don't know what nation this, oh no, I think it took place in Vietnam. And so the enemy commander, he has them and he walks down the line and he looks at the guy who had the vision and he looks into his eyes and he says, this man, take aside. And he takes that man as a prisoner and he shows him off to his friends for some reason. The other men, I think, are killed. They could have been imprisoned elsewhere. I don't know, but I think they were just simply killed. So this guy, he lives and he's put in a cage and they put him to work. But as he's a prisoner, he has opportunities. He puts sugar in the tanks of some of the Jeeps one night. And then the next day he escapes and he lives to fight again and to tell the story. So what happens to that man is, now this is part of the encouragement. When I was praying before this show, the Holy Spirit told me, he said, you tell them this is a message of encouragement. Because believe me, I don't look at these dreams. When I had these dreams, I wasn't thinking, oh, that's encouraging. But this man, he was a Christian and he survived. God gave him favor. Somehow this commander just wanted to take him alive and did. I didn't see him beaten or abused anywhere in the dream. I see he was definitely caged. He wasn't comfortable, but he survived and he escaped and he did damage to the enemy. And because of his wisdom, because of the vision that he had been given and warned about, they were able to kill more enemy in that engagement. They were able to hold their ground for a longer time. Another part of this dream is, let's say, indicated positively, is that when they were setting up that beach, one of the ships they'd come in on, this flotilla, this small company of ships, had been attacked. And there was a ship that came. The purpose of this ship was simply to provide supplies and repairs. That's what this ship did. But this ship was staffed completely by women. It was a U.S. Navy ship, and the entire crew were female. And this was kind of exciting to all the men on the other ships. They were hoping that they could somehow maybe meet some women or something like this. So I've always, every now and then, every couple of years, I try to see if the U.S. Navy is experimenting with this. And this year, 2022, the U.S. Navy put out a submarine crew 100% female. You see, the problem with mixing genders on a ship is you get a bunch of pregnancies. Some people are married and get pregnant. Some people father children with someone that's not their wife. It becomes a big problem in the military community. People have opportunity and time, and it goes south, all right? So you can see why someone might consider an all-female crew, and that's what I saw in the dream. And now the U.S. Navy has done one. They ran one mission with a submarine. It goes out and comes back, and it was all-female crew. So, interesting. Now, the next one. Now, this is something, now if, oh, okay, I know I said there were several of these. Okay, and another one I had more recently, there were Marines fighting somewhere in Asia, but again, I think this was in Vietnam. And the Marines were kicking butt and taking names. There's some snipers were hiding in different trees, but the Marines, again, there's this guy, he's like, I have a bad feeling. He said, hold down, and they hunker down. And then the sniper, understanding that maybe the enemy is onto him, tries to take a couple shots, doesn't get anybody. The Marines turn fire and kill the sniper out of the tree. And then they continually encounter snipers in trees. So again, there's this person paying attention to the natural intuition that God gave us. Hey, something bad is coming down the road. I don't feel right. What could this be? And the next scene, all the trees, the branches are all cut. So it's this road leading into a town that they have to frequently patrol. So they just clear cut all the trees. That was their solution. But I saw a few more scenes in that dream. Marines, but they were also winning. Back to this other dream, and this is a thing about the favor of God. So in the dream, you see that the men in the Navy ships, they're like, oh, let's go meet the women. They shouldn't be behaving that way. If you want the hand of God to protect you, you need to live righteous, and that includes not coveting your neighbor's wife. Just because the woman isn't married yet, God has a plan for that woman to have a family, a husband, later on down the road. Those plans get botched by so many of us making bad decisions, following the advice given in a Hollywood movie. Even the character in the film isn't a real guy. He's reading a script written by somebody that we've never met. We don't know what their political and spiritual agendas are, but we just highly suspect that they're all Satanists trying to corrupt us the way Balaam taught the king of Moab to corrupt the Hebrew people. And what happened to them? A plague killed 50,000 of them. It was probably around 10% of the population. So, live right. That's a part of the thing. So that they get overrun. And the other thing that happens is a bridge is destroyed and it collapses. And when it collapses, it collapses onto a United States submarine that was in this river. It's a very large river. Now, what are the chances of that? Doesn't that seem like an against practical odds kind of scenario? And the dream, they're talking about people trying to reach this submarine and save the sailors that are trapped there because the weight of the steel on the ship has it pinned in place and they can't free it. So now the objective is, well, we can't save the submarine. Let's save the men. And there was an emphasis in the dream on this, like this can be avoided. This can be avoided. It's such an important message in Scripture, isn't it? If you just repent, if you pray first, if you be right with God, these things can repent. Put God in the first place, the prophets said, all of them in the Old Testament. Or the enemy is going to come, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Romans, if you don't put God first, the enemy is going to come in here and do terrible things. And they usually do worse even than God had reservedly decided to allow to happen. So we need to put God first. That's the encouragement, my friend. Okay, so I was praying, Lord, you show me all these wars, but who will be for us? Will we have any allies at all? And eventually I saw a dream and I saw that there was an island nation. There were some cities there that had French names, some that had Asian names. And I realized like this is some part of Asia that formerly was controlled by the French. I think that island nation will be Taiwan. If you follow prophecy, you can see how others have also said this, that there will be some war. Now, listen, as much as the Holy Spirit has shown me dreams about the war in the United States, there's an equal number about war in Asia. I prayed more, like, who will be our allies? I saw this funny vision with a big line, and on the left side, there was a little dot, and on the right side, there were like 3, 4, 5 dots. And then another row appeared, as if it was a passage of time, like the next month, the next quarter. I don't know what time period each row represented. But on the United States, it continued again, one dot. On the next side, instead of 3 or 5, it increased by 2. So now it's like 5, 7. Goes again, one dot on the left. On the right side, stays again, 5, 7. But as it goes, eventually there's 2, maybe 3 on the left, and something like 35 on the right side. As the nations can begin to see that the initial coalition, I think it's going to be the Iron Triangle, Russia, China, Iran, attacking the United States, as they see that this group gains ground and has successes against the United States, I'm going to share that in some more of these visions here. Other groups of nations, and not just like one nation, not like Venezuela by itself, but coalitions of nations. They begin to join in. Some of them are Muslim nations based on the Gulf Economic Cooperative or something. They just start joining in groups, 3 and 5 countries coming in at a time. And their motivation is the same. Coming to kill Americans, that's not a big deal to them. What they want is to plunder. Just like Revelation says, they want to steal gold. They want to steal all those things that are traded from Mystery Babylon. And they want to steal people, cars, everything. They want to steal it, take it back, sell it. Okay? This is what they want to do. So that's something that I saw. Now, in one of these dreams I was praying about allies, I saw a battle take place somewhere in the American Southwest. It was a battle that was taking place, American soldiers and their allies, who in this dream were represented only by the color yellow. And I think that represents Mexico. But I'm not certain, but I believe it was the Mexican army. I mean, regular Mexican army, uniforms, officers, everything. And right as the battle's about to begin, the Mexicans turn and open fire on the Americans. So it was a setup. They were traitors from the beginning. They were a false friend. And so I see that battle. And another interesting thing about that battle is that the Americans did not have air support. The enemy had air superiority. And this was because they had some kind of a weapon that were welded to the outside of their planes, fastened to the outside of their planes, because it was a retrofit. It was something they'd only put on the planes very recently. Either it was hidden until the last minute. They didn't want anybody to take photos of their planes with this weapon. But this thing fired, I'm going to guess that it's an EMP kind of a weapon. And when it fired, it went out in a cone so that the further it was from the plane, the wider it got, but assumedly also weaker. But if that cone hit an American plane, the plane dropped out of the sky like a brick. Just stopped working. That's why I think it's an EMP gun. I think that that weapon just stops all computers and the plane just plummets, just drops. So the enemy had air superiority, but men on the ground successfully shot down planes. And in this battle, it's somewhere maybe in, I don't know, Texas, New Mexico. I think maybe New Mexico, I'm not certain. Somebody rushes, they says, hey, I heard a report from another battle that was fought in another place. Let's go to this downed plane and recover the weapon. And they do, and from the ground, they fire it at enemy aircraft, and it works. In the battle, they shoot down planes. People are fleeing from this battle. American soldiers fleeing from the battle is going very badly. But these two men, they have this weapon. They're standing their ground because they want to see if they can do it. They're like, let's shoot this thing. Okay? My friends, you need to know God. Pray that God will speak to you. In dreams, visions, as you pray, that he will watch over you. Then put your trust in God, my friend. Okay, next dream here. So now, I've shared with you about how war starts in Asia. And now this is what happens. This war with China happens fast. The Chinese people don't expect it. Scene opens up. There's just a small village. And I'm talking, their buildings aren't even made out of concrete. They're just, it looks like they forged for these materials and built it up. So it's like thatch huts kind of stuff. A very simple rural village somewhere near the coast. And a large fishing vessel and a Chinese Navy ship anchor off the coast. They row inland and they start grabbing all the men. It looks like boys as young as 12, men as old as 65, full heads of gray hair. They're taking them, putting them on the ships, rowing them, putting them on the boats, rowing them out to the ships. The women are screaming. The soldiers ignore them. They grab every able-bodied male, put them on the ships, row them out. This goes on for a while. Again, there's a Christian boy. He's maybe 13. He gets taken. But before that happens, in the opening scene, they're working the harvest. So maybe this is telling the timing of it. It looked to me like they were just preparing the soil to plant. So in the springtime, maybe of some year, this is when this happens, possibly. And he's thinking that recently he's come to know Jesus, and he's very excited about it. He loves Jesus. And he has a smaller brother that he wants to tell, and he's wondering what the timing is, but he's decided he won't do it yet. And when he gets taken, he realizes now it's too late. Most likely, I'll never have another opportunity to do that. Who knows what's going to happen in this crazy world? And that's a message to all of us, my friends. Don't delay. Seek God's timing. Pray before you go out. Let God's angels go before you, and then step into the battle to win souls for the kingdom of God. In the next scene, it's like you're standing on the beach from where this village was, looking out onto the horizon, and it's covered with ships, every type of ship, Chinese naval ships, cruise ships, large and small fishing vessels, even some smaller sailing boats, just packed with people, all headed to the United States. And they go to the United States, and they land there, and they go out walking, and they're walking through cities that have just been clear-cut. Something, some massive explosion, maybe some huge, who knows, tidal wave, hurricane weapon. We really don't know what kind of things they're capable of now. But has clear-cut these houses. There's maybe 18, 24 inches left of the bottom of the foundation, and very little rubble, very little loose bricks laying around. Something came through there and lifted up all that material, all those houses, whatever bodies were there, swept them away and deposited them somewhere else. So they're going through this rubble, and this guy picks up like a little Mickey Mouse clock. It's mostly burned, but he thinks, I'm going to take this because he's poor. Another thing in that dream, they were really tight on capturing all the bridges. It was an important objective to them. So if you're wherever you live, if in order to flee, you have to cross one or more bridges, pray about moving. Pray about being somewhere else, a little closer to the mountains. Okay? You might want to do that. So that's that dream. And that's how rapidly it happens. The Chinese, they don't even know what's going to happen. They're just taken and put on. People are talking about the current size of the Chinese army. No, they're going to bolster their ranks with non-willing civilians. It's going to be a big deal. So suddenly, there's this massive Chinese male population on American soil. Now, the next dream is this dream. I have a video on YouTube. It's called War on Two Fronts and Plague. And what I just see is this map of the United States, and there's a line that goes down it. And those are the lines of conflict, the lines of engagement. Much of, I'd say half of, at least a third, maybe a half, maybe three quarters of states on the East Coast are overrun. That's where this line is. About the same distance, maybe up to the Sierra Nevada foothills on the West Coast. And these are the lines of engagement. And the enemy has pushed in. At this point in the dream, the enemy already has beachheads. They already have lands. Coastal cities are either surrounded or occupied, and there's fighting. And in this scene, a general and a colonel walk in to this biologist, and they say, listen, we cannot spare anybody to help you. We need every fighting capable man that we've got. We can't give you anybody. But you need to do something to stop this plague. The plague is causing severe damage to our fighting capacity. You can, I give you authorization. Do whatever you must. And this biologist, God had prepared him for this moment. He'd gone through hardships in his life. God had caused him to be in situations where he was forced to turn to God, to pray to God, and learn to trust God. And this guy pulls it off. He finds a cure to the plague. And they celebrate him. They give him a medal. There's a ceremony to honor him because God did something with him. If you have found yourself in tough situations, many of us, God is hardening. God has hardened, prepared us. The Bible says, even a good branch, he trims that it might produce even more fruit. It may seem mean to say it, but I hope that's you, my friend. Because greater will our light shine in eternity. Next. Okay. A scene of occupied America. There's a large group of American refugees, families, men, women, armed men, armed women, children, families, suitcases, wheeled carts, things, backpacks with food, containers of water, whatever you got. A large group, too numerous to count, coming down a road. Coming toward them is a regular Chinese army. Uniforms, hats, weapons, grenades, everything. Mortar, they've got it all. They're coming around a turn, and there's an opening there. In the dream, this guy, he realizes that's where the battle's going to take place. He knows it. But God tells him, the Holy Spirit moves him, strong. Don't fight. Don't draw your gun. The battle's going to happen. But you, what you do instead is, you see that high place? Get in the high place. So he runs up this embankment to where he can see the whole battle, and he begins to pray. And God shows him, like, your bullets and this, the scale of this battle will do almost nothing. It'll mean almost nothing, but prayer. Prayer is huge. Prayer will do a lot. So the man goes up, and several other men say, we understand what he's doing. We see what he's doing. Let's join him. And several men go up into this high place. And even, there's so much symbolism in the high place close to God, in the presence of God. And under the power of the Holy Spirit, they're binding the demons that support the enemy. And that's how they're going to have massive effect on the outcome of that battle. That's how many lives will be saved that might have been lost. Gideon and Jephthah, they were men who were rejected. They'd gone through hardship in their life. But they knew God. And God gave them great victory with a very few men against very large armies. If God is with you, my friend, no one will stand against you. In other dreams, many dreams I've seen about this, I call these people spiritual warriors, small groups of people fighting in different places within the United States, often against other Americans, unscrupulous Americans, taking advantage of people, robbing, stealing, taking what they want, ambushing smaller groups of people to take their food. But this group, they go around, sometimes there's 7, 8 of them, 12, 24, I don't know, it varies in size. But they all pray before they go into battle, and they have great victories. So much so that American generals hear about some of these groups and want to meet their leaders. I call them the spiritual Marines. Pray, my friend. If God goes before you, the Canaanites will be pushed out of the valley. Let God, when you hear God, when you hear the heavenly host of angels, that army marching above you in the air, over the tops of the cedars, when you hear that, then you go out. But you pray and make sure first that that's God's plan. Because sometimes God wants to do something, and you can't, you don't want to stand against God thinking that you're doing his work. All right? Now, next one. A battle, a fight somewhere between a dug-in American position, being advanced, attacked, assailed by the Chinese army. The Americans hold their ground for a full day of battle. They fight the full day. And at night, it's a risk. They risk their lives, but they sneak out under cover of darkness to recover ammunition from the many dead Chinese spread out in the open area before their fighting holes to get ammunition, because there's an ammunition shortage. That message became very popular a few years ago because Obama started passing laws to restrict ammunition. The government started buying up a lot of ammunition to push up the price. So ammunition became harder, more difficult to acquire. And in this dream, the American defenders had an ammunition shortage, so that they had to risk their lives to scavenge ammunition from dead enemy. So shoot the guys carrying a lot of ammunition. It'll benefit you in the long run. Next dream here. I have a list here. I'm looking at these. I tried to order them, so now I've got to scramble around to look. Okay. Yes. A final battle has been fought. In this dream, a small group of militia are dragging. Some of them are wounded, but all of them are able to walk, maybe with a little assistance. One guy is just dragging his rifle, but they don't care. They're tired. They're exhausted. There had been a big battle fought somewhere in Texas. Many different independent militias, city defenses, had assembled, and they fully expected to win this battle. They thought they were going to win, but instead the battle is lost. Now this group, they've lost some of their friends. They're a smaller number than when they went. They're headed north out of Texas, going through, I think, Oklahoma maybe. They're tired, exhausted, and they see a man crossing a field, and he waves to them. Because at this time, this is how news travels. Men walk, and whoever they meet, they share the news they have. And so this guy sees them, approaches them, and when they meet on the road, he tells them, he says, Washington, D.C. has fallen. Atlanta has fallen. And this is a signal. So people have known that these cities would fall, and they know what they have to do after that. And so they have a new set of orders, and they're going to, well, I'm just going to say they know what to do. But this is the thing, is that some cities had held out for a certain period of time, siege, surrounded by the enemy. Atlanta and D.C. were the last of that. It's possible I got the names of those cities wrong over the years. I misremember them, but I believe those are the names of the two cities, D.C. and Atlanta. So there comes a time when the American defenders are desperate. But the next dream I want to share with you is the recapture of Los Angeles. It's been under occupation by the Chinese for some time. The leader, the governor, he's called, but really more like an evil overlord, is named Li Xianchua. And I see and hear the thoughts of the American commander on the assault to retake Los Angeles. And he's thinking that he wants to get this guy, Li Xianchua, and cut his head off. He wants to do it himself, because this guy has been beheading great numbers of people in occupied Los Angeles. So at some point there's I always hear it called this, the counter-revolution, the counter-revolution. So whatever puts the enemy in place, for some reason, is called a revolution of some sort, some type, some method. But there's a counter-revolution, and Los Angeles is set free. So this is the kind of thing that will happen. But at some point, the Americans recover it. Sadly, my friends, if you go back to the first episode of this podcast, Steel Sharpened Steel, I shared the story about how Chinese submarines nuke the East Coast, a few major cities on the West Coast, and I believe that's what happens next. I think that's what happens. America gets freed. They cast out all the enemy, killing all the enemy soldiers they capture. And then, fearing that their own country will be attacked, they just nuke everybody. They just nuke everything. I think that's what happens. But here's the encouragement now. The Holy Spirit has told me that if we will repent, that if we will pray, that it is possible that China never comes to war against the United States. I know some people won't like that. Shocked me. But that's the truth. And that's the message. Repent. Repent and turn back to God. Come out of her, my people, lest you suffer with her for her iniquities. This is the man from Modesto reminding you, as always, to pray or be defeated.